This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Break is brought to you by Bluehost. Great value if you need a place for your blog or website. It's cheap, they've got lots of features, and it's very easy to set up. I use it myself. Go to sqpn.com/bluehost for more information. And buy my book, Geek Priest, Confessions of a New Media Pioneer. Buy it at the Amazon store, and if you do so, click on the link on our website, and your purchase will help support our show. Let's get on with the show. This is The Break with Father Roderick, episode number 925, recorded on July the 5th, 2014. From the Simpsons to the Sacraments, from technology to theology, this show features the cool and the classical, the past and the future, the trends and the tradition. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it is time for a break. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Break. I hope you had a great Independence Day if you are American. I hope you had a great Canada Day if you are Canadian. And I hope you had a great day if you're from somewhere else in the universe. I'm having a good day. It's a lot cooler today. Fortunately, we've had some really warm days, but in the Netherlands, usually that doesn't stick. And so we had some rain during the night. And finally, the temperature is going down again, which makes me always very happy because I'm on the first floor of a building with a flat roof, which acts as a sun collector, so it just soaks up all the heat of the sun, and then during the night it beams it down, and it gets so hot. And here in Europe, we are not used to having air conditioning, so it's challenging to sleep or to work, especially if you've got these closed headphones on. It can get very sweaty, but it's slowly cooling down here in the studio in the Netherlands. I've got some great news. I'm gonna give you a first tease of a project that we've been working on for months, and that is now ready to be revealed, and you are going to be the first people to know about that. So we're also going to talk about, well, the usual stuff, movies, TV shows. There's a couple of new TV shows that I want to review for you. We're going to talk about food, exorcists, fantastic beasts, and where to find them, and who knows what else. But as usual, let's start with what's going on in the world. And it would help if I would click the right button.
Do you know what's going on? This is what's happening in your world.
They said Catholics rule. We got Boston, South America, the good part of Ireland, and we're making serious inroads in Mozambique, baby.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Now, we all know that Independence Day celebrates the victory of Will Smith over the evil aliens from outer space. Nah, just kidding. But one of the traditions in the United States, besides eating a lot of great barbecue food, is also fireworks. And I saw the most amazing YouTube clip this morning, filmed by a drone. You know, these drones are all the rage nowadays. It's these small helicopters, usually made out of plastic, and it's a very, very light material. You can connect one of those small cameras, which have a very kind of wide-angle lens on them. So the GoPro is the most well-known brand in that area of technology. And so someone hooked up one of those GoPro cameras to a drone, which you can then navigate using an iPhone or an app or whatever, and filmed the fireworks of Independence Day, the 4th of July, by flying through them. And it just creates this almost 3D-like experience. It's stunning, really stunning. I mean, it's the first time I've seen fireworks from within. Normally, you're just a spectator on the ground, and you look up, and you know, fireworks, in a way, it's a bit boring because it's always the same. I mean, there are only so many things that you can do with fireworks. But I guarantee you, if you watch this video, flying through those fireworks, that gives you a whole, literally a whole different perspective. So really well done. And I think it's awesome that we have this new technology that enables us to do this kind of stuff for not much money. Because really, these drones usually cost around, what is it, 300, 400 bucks. And then you just add a camera, which is also 200, and then you can make the most amazing footage that normally in the past would require you to hire a helicopter, not to mention life insurance. So it's very cool, and I can see a lot of applications for this kind of technology for independent movie making and video productions as well. If not for the fact that in a lot of countries, drones are forbidden. Like in the Netherlands, you cannot use drones. You have to have a special permission, which is laborious, and oftentimes you won't get it. You can't just buy one of those drones and fly around with it because it's seen as a flying object, a flying machine, and so it falls under the same legislation as helicopters, which is quite ridiculous because, of course, it's almost a toy. You know, what harm can it do? But anyway, I think it's part of the fact that legislation often is, you know, years or light years behind on developments, and so it's kind of sad that you can't legally film with drones unless you jump through a lot of hoops to get the necessary permissions. But hopefully in the future that will change, because I can totally see myself, you know, making documentaries and taking a drone with me and make these nice aerial views of churches and cathedrals and imagine the possibilities. Anyway, I guess that this guy, I'm not sure about the situation in the United States, but the person who made this Independence Day fireworks movie just did it. And since it's happening at night, you probably don't even see the drone, so he got away with it. But very, very cool. So here in the Netherlands, no Independence Day, nothing special except for the ongoing World Cup football or soccer. And the Dutch team is still, as I'm recording this, still in the race. And tonight on Saturday evening, they have their match against what was it? I forgot. that's how much I'm following this. Let me Google that quickly. Netherlands World Cup versus, and then Google will probably let me know. Costa Rica. There you go. Now the funny thing is that in previous matches, there was this trend that people would cook a recipe linked to the opponent. Like when we were playing Mexico, everybody was making Mexican food. And so I've heard similar stories from other countries. The problem is that Costa Rica, almost no one knows what typical Costa Rican, is that the word, food is. And so everybody is asking questions on Twitter, you know, what should we prepare? What should we eat? well, I guess just anything, you know, South American will probably work, but there's not a token recipe that I can come up with. But it's funny to see the whole, you know, social networks around this whole World Cup. There are so many trends, and a lot of companies and businesses are trying to get attention by posting pictures and jokes, etc., around these matches, because of course there's a lot of activity even during the matches on social networks. I mean, my Twitter feed and my Facebook feeds usually are all soccer when there is a game going on. I've even tried it myself. When Holland won, I posted a photo, I think, of Orange @ats walking around. That got retweeted quite a bit. And then the other day when Argentina won from Switzerland, I created a picture of Pope Francis, and it was just a great picture I found on the web where he's got this smug smiles like, ha-ha. And then I just added the score on the left side of it and the flags of the different countries. And that picture got retweeted hundreds of times that evening. So it's an interesting experiment, and perhaps we can use that in the future for evangelization as well. So, you know, if you're listening to this, it might already be over, and the whole World Cup might be over for us, and then things will go back to normal, at least for, you know, most people. And we will just move on to the next sports event, which is in the Netherlands, as I told you last week. It's the Tour de France, which is really big, and my special Tour de France series will air from beginning next Thursday. And I've had a lot of exposure with it. The past week, I've been doing a lot of newspaper interviews. I was on the radio twice yesterday. And That's pretty cool. That's exactly what I hoped would happen. That if you link a series or a special radio event, in this case, to something that is very mainstream in popular culture, journalists will pick it up because they're always looking for that new angle. There are only so many things that you can say on the level of sports about a Tour de France. So it's more interesting to have a story that you can link to the Tour de France, but that has a totally different perspective on things. And that is, you know, that's the secret of SQPN. That's what we've been doing for many, many years. It's always linking popular culture with the culture of the Catholic Church and faith and stuff, and then try to build that bridge. And in this case, with the Tour de France, I think that strategy proves to still be very effective. So I'm already making plans for next year. What I would love to do is to go back to France and then take a little bit more time, not just 5 days of running around, but take, for instance, 2 weeks, and then do it with video and create little video reports on special places alongside the Tour de France, perhaps just one movie, one clip per course. And then, I don't know, use social media to distribute it, or perhaps even find some channels that might want to air that as just an ingredient of their usual daily programming. I think there is a market for this. It's something that I haven't seen elsewhere. And I'm in, you know, the privileged situation where I can speak French very well and I can speak English reasonably well. And I have some experience with, you know, on-site reporting, whether it is in radio form or video. So I guess I'll have to start planning for next year. I think it could be really fun. And then finally, locally, what's happening in my personal world? Well, gosh, I've been on this mouse hunt. And I think I talked about this a while ago as well. I've got a mouse in the house, in my kitchen. And I first discovered the mouse, this is already more than a month ago. In the evening, I stepped into the kitchen and opened the fridge. And then from underneath the fridge, there was this tiny little animal that just raced to the other side of the kitchen. And of course, startled me quite a bit. And I was like, you know what? That's a tiny little mouse. And it looked very, very small. But then last week, again, for a whole lot of weeks, I never saw that mouse again, nor did I see any of the traces of them. Usually, you would think that a mouse would start eating stuff. You know, now, I have most of the food locked up in the cupboards, so I don't think that the mouse can get to that. But I didn't find any traces of a mouse, and so I figured, you know what, he might have been just an accident that he was walking around inside the walls of the house and just happened to enter my kitchen. So I figured, you know, he's probably just back to his natural habitat. And then let me take a sip of water. I apologize. I still have a hoarse throat or the raw throat. Still struggling with the remains of that cold that I caught in France. So the other day, entered the kitchen again, and it's sitting right there on the kitchen counter. And it's a lot bigger than it used to be. Now it has the size almost of a small rat. It's not a rat, because rats are even bigger. But it did remind me of the movie Ratatouille, especially because he was sitting next to the how would you call that? Where you cook, you know, where I have my pans. And it was just sitting there and raised its head and looked at me. I was like, hey, what are you doing in my kitchen? That's what the mouse thought. And then, whoosh, just, you know, ran away again behind the fridge. And I was like, you know, this is not hygienic anymore. I mean, he's not just on the floor. He's on the kitchen counter. That's where I prepare my food. I don't want mice to run around there. I need to do something. And, well, talking didn't help. Praying didn't help. Letting him, you know, do his business and just get out by himself didn't work. So, unfortunately, I had to try to find another solution to get rid of this mouse. And, unfortunately, the best solution that I think I can use is use weapons of mass destruction, which is just an old-fashioned mouse trap with not cheese, as I always thought. It's kind of the trope that you see in all the animated cartoons about mice and cats. But I heard from a lot of you, actually, that peanut butter is the best food to use. So I got, you know, two mouse traps and added a little dab of peanut butter. Put one on the kitchen counter next to the fridge, because that's where he, I think, climbed up the kitchen. So there's a little bit of a space behind the fridge, and then that connects to the counter. And so I think that's where I put the first one, and the other one I put it on the floor next to the fridge. And I'm waiting, and so far nothing, really nothing. I read some reports on the web from people saying, oh, yeah, you just use peanut butter. And then sometimes between, you know, 5 and 10 minutes, you'll already have your first mouse. And also, everybody keeps telling me if you see one mouse, then there is a family. There are more mice. But so far, I think this mouse is a smart mouse. I think he knows exactly what I'm trying to do. And so he's staying away. Well, who knows? I'm just, there's nothing else that I can do. And there are other ways to get rid of these, you know, mice, but they're not very elegant or friendly. There's this, you know, poison, but it just causes massive internal hemorrhages. And I hate it to use poison, because you don't know what happens with that mouse. He can actually go outside again, get eaten by an owl, for instance, and then I might have killed an owl. So I'm not really in favor of using poison. So I guess a mechanical trap is probably the best thing that I can do. But it's still, you know, if only these mice were very hygienic, then I wouldn't have a problem with them. But it's because they look very nice and friendly, and they still feel like I'm a bad guy. And it's probably just me being programmed by all these cartoons that I watched in my youth. Tom and Jerry, you know. Now I feel like I'm the cat. Oh, by the way, and some of you have suggested that I would get a cat, and that would also help me get rid of mice. But honestly, I am really not. I don't want to offend any of the cat people in my audience, but I am not one of you. I'm not a cat person. We always had dogs in the family. My sister has cats, and I don't think it's the same. A cat, you know, a dog has an owner, whereas a cat owns you. And a cat is only nice if he wants to be nice. You probably know these famous YouTube cartoons about Simon's cat. That kind of behavior, even though it's funny in those cartoons, but that's exactly the reason that I don't like cats. They're very self-centered in a way. And of course, that's projecting human behavior on cats. I mean, a cat is just acting according to his or her instinct. But I don't know. I never really connect well with cats. And some cats can be very friendly. I mean, there are a lot of different cats, I think. But I've also seen so many cat videos where it's the opposite. And cats can be, you know, they just don't care what you think or what you're doing. They just do whatever they want. Imagine that I'm podcasting here and I would have a cat. I've seen so many examples of a cat just jumping on the desk and then start walking over your keyboard. And it just, no. No. I don't want to replace one annoying animal with another one. And, you know, once you have a cat or any domestic animal, you need to take care of it. You can't just, you know, have like a test period of 2 weeks and then conclude, well, you know, I don't like cats and then get rid of a cat. No. You know, a cat can grow very old. So for years and years and years, I would have to take care of that cat. So no. Other solutions for me. I will not get a cat. All right, let's go over to the world of movies and TV series.
So
So the other day, I watched the pilot episode of a new series, which I actually had heard a lot about, and I had high hopes, because one of the creators of this show and writers is Damon Lindelof. And you know that name, of course, from Lost. And Damon Lindelof is, I think, a very funny guy, incredible sense of humor, but also someone who is... I've listened to these podcasts for years where he would give commentary on each episode of Lost. And it's someone that I've grown to appreciate so much about for his storytelling qualities. But it's also someone who is very much aware that a good story needs good characters, needs interesting relationships. And it's just a brilliant Hollywood writer. Didn't he also write the script for Star Trek 1 or co-write it? Anyway, Damon Lindelof, I was like, any show that he's involved with, I definitely have to check out. Could be very good. So I watched the first pilot episode of this new series. I was a bit surprised that it would start airing in the summertime, because I always understood that in summertime, at least in the US, the ratings are much lower. People are not watching TV. They're not doing other stuff. And so it seems to me like a strange moment for the launch of a new television series. But anyway, I watched the first trailer. I watched the first episode. I'll play the trailer and then I'll give you my review.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, for those who want to, let us pray for mercy and forgiveness and the return of those who have left us.
As to the instantaneous disappearance of 2% of the world's population, your conclusion as to what happened, some 140 million souls, is, I don't know.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
No matter what we suffered, we are still alive.
I've come to talk with you again.
It's gonna be okay.
How's it gonna be okay?
Because a vision softly.
Please come home.
Please come home.
She's not coming back. None of them are.
It wasn't the rapture! They were no better than us!
What you're doing is not making things better.
We want them to remember something they want to forget.
They are trying to provoke us.
We can never be weak.
For whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope.
Do you know where my family went? Do you know what it was?
It was a test for what comes now.
Within the sound.
So the series is an HBO series called The Leftovers, and it tells the story of a situation where 2%, you've heard this in the trailer, 2% of the human population has disappeared from one moment to another, literally. Like people disappear in thin air, and the series starts, or the pilot starts, 2 years after that fateful day that so many people disappeared, and it shows you the population of a small village where let me see, what's the name of the village again? Mapleton, where people are still trying to cope with that sudden loss, and of course the inexplicable nature of that loss. And for the first time since 2 years, the village local mayor wants to organize like a remembrance day, calling it the Day of Heroes or something like that. but there is also opposition from what looks like a sectarian group. It's almost like a monastic community of mostly women and a few men who are dressed in white, and they are smoking every day, and they don't speak. And they all live together in a house. It's very strange. And what they do is they always show up near people that have lost someone. And it seems to be kind of like a provocation, or they don't want people to move on with their lives as if nothing has happened. And of course, that silent protest creates a lot of aggression, and you're still wondering, you know, what's the deal with that, you know, with that sectarian movement, what's going on, and so instead of approaching this as a big global event, it zooms in on the lives of, you know, very normal people, and tells tells you how they are coping with what's going on. And it wouldn't be Damon Lindelof if it didn't have also a lot of mystery. So there you're introduced to this guy who is able to liberate people from the feelings of guilt and loss. I don't know how he does it. It's all kind of mysterious, but he seems to be very powerful and have a lot of, he lives in a secret location. And so a lot is going on. There's this cop who has lost his wife and is now a single father and has a son and a daughter. And both of them are not coping very well with the situation, nor is he. And so it's a very kind of personal approach to the whole thing. And then, of course, sometimes you get glimpses of how the rest of the world has reacted to this. And it's shown as, you know, big discussions in talk shows. Some people say it's a religious event and it's the rapture. And other people are like, that doesn't make sense, because it's not just good people who were taken away. It's children, babies, it's criminals as well as saints. There seems to be no sense, no logic to the disappearance of these people. And so you see some of that tension and the ways in which, you know, certain religious people are trying to cope with it by coming up with religious reasons, but it all kind of feels a bit contrived and not logical. And so it's the world is in turmoil. Now the acting is great. It's very well produced. The way they filmed this very reminiscent of Lost in terms of it's really high quality television series. The thing that surprised me was how dark it was. Really dark. All these people have basically traumatic experiences, and I was a bit surprised because there's not much uplifting in this. After the first pilot, I was like, "Geez, this is not entertainment." I mean, it's gripping, it's intriguing, it's well acted. It's very much about the relationships and the people. It's got a lot of the ingredients that Lost also had, but there is not much hope, at least not in the pilot episode. Another thing is that this is based on a book, and from what I've read, the book itself never really explains why these people were taken away. And in the interviews, the writers have said that, you know, this is not a series about the solution to the mystery. We're not going to give you an easy explanation of what happened. This is much more about the aftermath. And what we're interested in is the journey of these people after this event. But don't expect us to give you, at the end of the season, a clear understanding of what happened and how and why. And one of the writers actually said something like, you'll never get an explanation. I think that Damon Lindelof, from one article at least, what I've heard, said that there would be some kind of an explanation at the end. But I, you know, knowing his writing style and what they did with Lost, I doubt that it will ever be enough to truly understand what was going on. They might, you know, give you a few more hints as to, you know, who created this prop, you know, who did this, or whether it's supernatural or alien or whatever. But I doubt that it will be ever, you know, a logical explanation. It's certainly supernatural. There is no natural way to explain that people just vanish into thin air. Now, it's very interesting. I've read some discussions online about this, the concept of this series, and a lot of people said, "Oh, it's the rapture. It's about the rapture." And well, American listeners are probably very familiar with this whole concept of the rapture. In Europe, not so much. Actually, I had never heard of the rapture until a couple of years ago when I read about it on a blog, and I started talking about it here on the show. It's like, well, what is this? And I was surprised to see that so many Christians just take it for granted. Yeah, rapture, that's just, you know, the end of times, and God is just going to take away the good people, and he's going to leave the people that will not be redeemed. And I was like, what? That is not a Catholic concept. That is shouldn't even be a Christian concept. Where does this come from? And turns out it's a very American thing. And you know what? This might actually be a good topic to talk about with a short visit to the Peculiar Bunch.
Catholics rock!
So here on the Peculiar Bunch, we talk about things that are Catholic. Culture, choices, liturgy, rituals.
Catholics can be a peculiar bunch. No meat on Friday.
No meat? What do they eat? Light bulbs?
So let's talk a little bit more about this whole idea of the rapture and why this is not a Catholic position.
Man, you guys got more crazy rules than Blockbuster Video.
Now, the whole concept of rapture, according to its proponents, is based on the Bible, where, you know, in the book of Revelations, it's said that, you know, some people will be taken, some will be left, and it's kind of a shaky biblical ground. It became very mainstream after a couple of books in a series called Left Behind, and that's actually how I got to know about this. Now I remember it was one of my parishioners who gave me this paperback book, I think, or at least talked about it. He said, yeah, you got to read this. This is awesome, and it's totally up your alley. And so I read part of that book, and I was like, what? This is the weirdest thing. Like, yeah, science fiction, yes, but, you know, Catholic doctrine? Certainly not. What is this? And then I started to discover how many people in the U.S. are convinced that this is something that is going to happen, that, you know, one day we will wake up and God will have taken away part of the population, and that'll be it. It's certainly never been part of the Catholic view on the end of times and the course of history. And it's also a difficult topic to talk about only from a biblical perspective, because if you take the book of Revelations and try to interpret that, you have to keep in mind that the whole apocalyptic genre that is used for that book is something that in those days when that was written was a genre that people were familiar with. We have much more trouble interpreting that rather strange book. And so you always have to look at the context of that, and God forbid that you take the book of Revelations literally and then just, you know, start pointing at events in our current history and by saying, oh, that's exactly what is described in the book of Revelations. That would be a very kind of fundamentalist way of approaching the book of Revelations, which is not the Catholic way of reading the Bible. What is important of the Catholic position on the end of times is that we do believe that there is going to be an end to this. We believe that Jesus will return in glory as he has announced. And there will be an end to our world. There will be an end to our history. And it will be also the moment of the final judgment. You have like a personal judgment when you die. But there is also like a judgment over the entire world. That's what Jesus talks about when he says, you know, we'll separate the sheep from just escapes me. But anyway, there Jesus himself talks about this judgment at the end of times. But it is all in the perspective of creating a future that God will make sure that the future for eternity will be a future without pain and suffering, without evil, without hunger, without tears. And the whole idea of a judgment is based on the conviction that people have a free choice, that God gave us a free will, and so we can always refuse his love. It's almost inconceivable, very, very difficult to imagine, that if you look into God's eyes or he looks into your eyes and you're confronted with so much love that you can totally 100% reject that love. But it is at least a theoretical possibility. Otherwise we wouldn't be free. If we were forced to love God, then, you know, we would not truly, that wouldn't be loving. Love requires freedom. So this whole judgment is basically God respecting the choices that we are making. And if we have lived a life during which we've constantly chosen evil and acted to destroy love and turned away from love, then that might also influence our definitive choice. And then God's judgment is ratifying that. He cannot force anyone to be saved. So that's very important to keep in mind. Also that Catholics believe that there will be the resurrection in the flesh at the end of time. So our future is going to be a future not just living like spirits. We are also corporal beings, and so we will receive a new body because our spirit cannot live, our soul cannot live without a body, nor the opposite. And so we will have a glorified body. And that is very important to keep in mind, that there is a resurrection at the end of times, which is also a difference with some more esoteric beliefs, that we will just continue to be these spiritual beings like angels, or even worse, that we are just a drop of water that will completely dilute in the ocean and every individuality will cease to exist. No, we are individual because we're all individual souls, and we will be even more individual because we will have a new glorified body. Now, the Catholic Church is also very careful about saying too much. We are still talking about these things with our current vocabulary and our current knowledge, which is, of course, way too limited to even conceive these metaphysical events. So, and Jesus himself is also very clear about this. You know, nobody knows when this will happen. And so people that say, oh, I'm absolutely certain that we've had that before the year 2000, you know, that will be the end of times. And every once in a while, there will be this new sect or whatever, or church that proclaims that they have like some kind of like personal knowledge of when the rapture will take place or when the end of times will arrive. Well, if you read the Bible carefully, then you'll see that Jesus is very clear about this. Only the Father knows the day and the time for that. And so we know more. We know what we don't know. We don't know much about the rest. But we do have our hope of this future, of the resurrection, of the end of this world, which is also a broken world, because there is suffering, there is pain, there is sin. That is not the final state of our lives and of our world, but that God has a future in store for us, which is a future in which, if we want to, we will be saved. So it's not going to be this kind of eclectic, you know, sudden disappearance of half of the population. And then what boggles me with the whole concept of rapture is, so then you have a lot of other people and they're still on this planet and they're not saved. What then? I mean, that's weird. These people are still free people, right? They still have a soul. They can choose what to do. Would they all of a sudden be unable to love? That doesn't make sense. If they continue to live after the rapture, and well, if they were doomed, then they would be unable to love, right? So what if you are here on this planet, the rapture has taken place, and you still have that free will? Well, wouldn't that mean that you can still choose to love God and to be saved? It doesn't make sense. Theologically, it doesn't make sense, this whole concept. So those are a few, you know, thoughts that I have with this whole concept of rapture and why it's certainly not compatible with Catholic teaching. And don't believe anyone who tells you otherwise. If you want to learn more about this, I got to refer you to my good friend Jimmy Akin at jimmyakin.com. He's got a couple of articles about this, and you might want to search for an article called End Time Theories. End Time Theories. It gives a short overview of the various the various ideas that people have and about the Catholic position. But what is even more important, he gives you a link of a couple of links to resources where you can read up on why Catholics don't believe in the rapture and where that comes from, and what, you know, the Catholic thinking is about the end of times and the end of this world. So, and I going back to this television series, it's clearly not about the rapture, at least not in a way that some people understand it, because, you know, criminals are also taken away. So there seems to be really no rhyme or reason to who is going to be taken away from Earth and who stays. So that too, you know, that randomness is already something that would indicate that there, you know, this has nothing to do with religion or God. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that in the next couple of episodes, those religious questions will be asked as well, because people are, you know, people of reason. We always want to try to cope with this and somehow find a reason for whatever happens to us. And if you believe in God, then, you know, there's always the question, why would this happen if God exists? It's the age-old question of why do people suffer if God is a God of love? And the Christian answer to that would be, we know what is not the case, and that is that God created evil. We also see in Jesus that God wants to save people from suffering and wants to heal them and wants to save them even from death. So that shows us a God of good intentions. That's it for now. If you have any thoughts, of course, feel free to continue the discussion online. And I might get back to this topic later on when I've seen a few more episodes of this new series called The Leftovers. I thought this would be a food-related series. Leftovers, the first association that I have with the word leftover is my fridge and the food from yesterday and how I'm going to use that in my new recipes, which, of course, is a nice little bridge to the next topic of this show.
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
Mmm. This is a tasty burger.
Eat that?
What, that? No. Yes. No. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
A super healthy food vegetable is endives. It's a vegetable that I hated as a kid. I thought that endives were bitter, which they are if you cook them. And I just never really cooked with endives. It just never inspired me that much. The kind of the classical way to use endives in the Netherlands is by cooking potatoes. And you need to kind of type of potatoes that become very mushy if you cook them. And then, so cook them with a little bit of salt, add the endives, and then just squash them. And that just creates this endive potato mix, which is very good in wintertime. But it's always the same. It's really boring. Now, one of the ways in which I've used endives, because I know that they're, you know, leafy green vegetables full of all sorts of vitamins and minerals and whatnot. One of the ways that I used in the past to process endives or make sure that I eat them from time to time is putting them into a green smoothie. You take 2 apples, a banana, some water, perhaps some figs for the sweetness, and add some endives. And actually, endives and apple is a nice combination. It makes it very fresh. And I've noticed that if you don't cook them, then they don't get that bitter. However, so yesterday I bought this whole bag of like 500 grams of endives. It was a lot, a big bag. And I was planning on making some green smoothies yesterday and today, but yesterday I just forgot to make a green smoothie. And the expiration date is nigh, so I had to find another way to use these endives, and I just am not in a mood with this kind of, you know, summer weather. I'm not in a mood for making an endive potato dish. And so I tried out something else. I read I was just Googling some recipes, and I found this, at first sight, looked very awful. A recipe with Andes, apple, raisins, and curry. And I tried it out, had it for lunch, actually, before I recorded the show. I tried it out. And it's actually not really bad. It's not bad at all. So here's how you prepare it. You use about, 400 grams of endives. Have to be washed, of course, and chopped into small slices. I usually buy them pre-chopped, so I don't have to do all that work myself. They're already washed. I took one apple, cut the apple into very small slices, sprinkle a little bit of lemon juice over them so that it don't get, don't brown. Got a handful of raisins, poured some hot water over the raisins so that they, you know, soak up the water, become a little bit more, let's say, less dry. And first thing I did was put some olive oil in a pan, add the endives, and I added some vegetable stock powder, you know, in powder form. So not liquid stock, because that would make it a soup. But just some vegetable stock powder. I'm not sure how you call that in English. Just to give it a little bit more of a, let's say, some saltiness. Add some saltiness to the endives and also counteract the bitterness of the vegetable. And I added quite a bit of curry also, because I know that curry also just gives it, makes the taste more interesting. It's not just salty, but it just adds this little something to it. It works also with, you know, with cabbage and other vegetables. A bit of curry. And then, of course, once you start cooking that, the endives kind of shrink because the water evaporates and it becomes a much more, much smaller volume. I added the apple and the raisins, stirred it up a couple of minutes, and the result is actually quite edible. It's not bad at all. I'm not saying that this is like, 10 out of 10 and I will eat this every day. But as a way to get rid of those leftover endives, actually a pretty cool combination. And I like actually the whole, you know, what it does in your mouth. It's a little bit bitterness. It's got that sweetness of the apple, the kind of almost freshness. The raisins enhance that even more and gives also a different kind of, how would you call that, like mouth feeling. And then that saltiness is also a really nice counterbalance with the sweetness of the apple and the raisins. So it's like, it's got bitterness, got sweetness, and it's got saltiness. And that makes for a very interesting combination to eat. So, well, that's just what I wanted to give you as a tip. Okay, now it is time to talk. Actually, it's time to go into a break. I need to drink a little bit more water. My voice is going away. When we get back from the break, I'm going to tease you about a very exciting project that we've been working on for so long. It is something new for SQPN, and I'm so stoked about this. And you are the first to hear about this. All that is coming up next on The Break with Father Roderick here on SQPN.com. In the meantime, make sure you keep an eye on SQPN.com for all our other affiliate shows and other regular shows. We've got shows about TV series, movies, popular culture, faith. There is so much over there. So if you haven't been to the site for a while, check it out, sqpn.com. This episode of The Break is brought to you by Bluehost, which is my favorite hosting company when it comes to websites or blogs. My website, fatherroderick.com, is hosted on Bluehost, and I'm a happy customer for many years now. And what I like about it is that it is super cheap. They also have very often, they've got these special deals, like for Independence Day, they had a special deal. Actually, it might still be up on the site. You have to take a look at for yourself. So it's very affordable, but they do give you a full-fledged environment for, let's say, for instance, a WordPress blog. So it's not like all these free websites or WordPress.com or Blogger, where they will basically give you a limited experience in blogging and there are only so many things that you can do with it. migrating is a hassle. You can't use the themes that you might want to use to make your site look very professional. And Bluehost gives you everything you need, but since it's all shared hosting, it's shared hosting, by the way, is when a lot of people have their blogs on the same server. So they basically got one machine, but it's so fast and has so much space that it can run all these different websites at the same time. And there are some situations where one website will become very popular and take away a lot of resources, that they will just move you to another machine. So they're constantly monitoring that so that your site keeps running. And they've got really good tech support as well. So sometimes with these very cheap solutions, your site might go down and it's impossible to reach someone and it's very non-responsive. And you don't want to have that. You don't want to have your blog being down for a couple of days. You know, it's nothing more frustrating than that. Bluehost is so big. I mean, they're one of the biggest players in the world right now, that they've got excellent support and they're able to act very quickly if something is wrong. So that's why I can always recommend Bluehost. And if you sign up for a website, for an account, make sure you go to our website, sqpn.com, and click on that Bluehost link. If you do so, then Bluehost will actually pay us an amount of money for bringing in new customers. Now, that will not influence the price you pay, of course. But it's just if you already want to start a blog and you click on that link, that's actually a way to support SQPN, and it won't cost you anything extra. So, but even if they wouldn't do that, I would still recommend Bluehost because it's a great company. Let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the final part of The Break with Father Roderick. Hey, Father Roderick that is still struggling quite a bit with his voice. I thought actually my voice would be better than it actually is. Oh well. That is the only downside of being a podcaster and not a blogger. If you are a blogger, you can blog even when you're feeling nauseous or sick or you're coughing your lungs out. When you're a podcaster, your voice is your instrument, and if your voice doesn't function well, you can't podcast. Anyway, speaking of voices, you know that SQPN has been the gathering place for a lot of talented voices. We've been around for 10 years now, almost 10 years. Next year, 2015, we will celebrate 10 years of Catholic podcasting. And it's always been my dream to make that content available in other ways as well, not just as feeds in iTunes or downloadable MP3 files, but to also... Because ultimately what we're doing is part of this very ancient tradition of radio. It's just a different form of radio. And I think that we found also not just a different technology to distribute our programs, but also a different style. Podcasting is much more like blogging. And what blogging is to, let's say, traditional written publications like books or articles or newspapers, that's what podcasting is to radio. We are... personal. You know, I'm this is me talking to you, and it's not just this, you know, voice of a company which is kind of disembodied, and you can find me on social networks and we can talk and we can exchange all day long, all week long, and it creates a different dynamic. Now, I still think that type of programming deserves to find an even bigger audience than we can find with podcasting alone. Now, one of the ways in which more and more people are listening to radio is by using their mobile devices. If you've got an app like TuneIn, or you're using your iTunes program to listen to streams, you can actually get access to radio stations from all over the world, including a couple of Catholic radio stations. You've got Relevant Radio, you've got Radio Maria, you've got EWTN, and quite a few other Catholic radio stations. The only thing is, excuse me, a lot of these Catholic radio stations are very much geared to a already Catholic audience. So if you tune in with, let's say, Relevant Radio, most of their programs will be about Catholic theology, spirituality, church history, interviews with theologians or bishops. Same as the case with EWTN or, let's say, Catholic TV. Well, do they have Catholic radio as well? I'm not sure. But anyway, it just presupposes that you are already a Catholic, or at least that you're very familiar and eager to listen to Catholic programming. Now, what we do with SQPN has always been slightly different. We are a Catholic organization, and faith is very important in everything we do and in the personal lives of all our podcasters. At the same time, the reason that we started SQPN a long time ago was that we wanted to make programs that also non-Catholics could listen to and enjoy. And enjoy without having that feeling that, oh gosh, they're trying to convert me, or, you know, they're pushing religion through my throat. I always thought that what I think is so essential to the Catholic way of doing media is that we're very open and interested and curious, and we want to connect with our modern world and modern culture, and we want to contribute to it, but always in an inviting way, never in a pushy way, like, oh, you got to be Catholic, otherwise you shouldn't be listening to this. And so when I look at the existing online radio stations, they're either completely secular, and let's say like 95% of all the streaming stations are music stations with little or no talk. And only a small percentage is talk radio. Now, a lot of that talk radio is political or very local. A few of these stations are Catholic, but I have yet to find a Catholic radio station that is in that has the style that we have, where you can safely listen to this if you are not a Catholic and you're not even planning on becoming a Catholic, but you just want to learn, you want to expand your horizon, you like the personalities of the shows, you like the topics that we talk about. And so that is why last year we had this fundraiser for an online radio station filled with SQPN programs that has that identity that you're used to if you're a listener to our SQPN shows. And we already have so many great shows, so why not put them online and turn that into a live radio station that you can tune in any time of the day or the night and can listen to it, but also something that might help other people discover this content because they're browsing, you know, the talk radio stations in iTunes or in TuneIn or whatever other app they're using on their mobile devices to listen to streaming radio. Now, this was, I think, a great idea, and we were excited to see how many people supported that short. We did a very short fund drive, but they were able to finance this project for the first year. And so, but what was much more difficult is figuring out how to do this and how to do this well. And that's why it took quite a bit of time to find the right, you know, solution for this. Because you can stream radio from your computer, you know, create a playlist in iTunes and just connect via internet to a broadcaster that will take that stream that comes from your computer and then, you know, serve it to the world. The problem is, if your computer breaks down, or for some reason there is a electricity problem, or whatever software problem on your end, the stream will stop and you'll lose all your listeners. So we've been looking at solutions where all the content is hosted server side, so not with us, but with the company that actually hosts the radio station, and we have found that. And so for the past weeks, we've been working on building up this new radio station. Now, here it is. You are the first ones to know about this. We are going live in beta form because we're new to this. This is a whole new distribution method for us. So we want to start in beta and listen very carefully to you, our listeners, to people that discover this radio station, and fine-tune our approach. And we still have a lot to learn. That's why we want to start in beta and make sure that we figure out how to do this well. Because I've always believed that if you do something like this, you got to do it well. But we're going to launch the beta version of this radio station this Monday. So this Monday, everyone who is subscribed to our newsletter, and if you are not subscribed to our newsletter, make sure you do just by going to sqpn.com. There's a link to that in the menu. And you will get the press release for this radio station. Now, of course, you want to know what the name is of this radio station and what you can expect to hear on that radio station. Now, the name is actually the most obvious name that I could come up with, and it is StarQuest Radio. And the website is going to be starquestradio.com. That will be the website where we will that we will advertise, so people can go to starquestradio.com and listen live. We'll also make sure that there's a chat room so that people can chat about the live stations that they're listening to. And I think StarQuest Radio is a cool name because it is, you know, linked to our identity. We are the StarQuest Production Network. But it is StarQuest Radio is also a name that might that will not scare away people that are not Catholic. You know, if we would have called this, I don't know, Catholic Community Radio or the best Catholic station in the world or whatever, a lot of non-Catholics would immediately think, oh gosh, that's just going to talk about liturgy and about praying the rosary, etc. I don't say that we never talk about that, but there's you know, as a listener to this show, that SQPN is about much, much more. So StarQuest Radio, I think as a name, is both linked to our identity and, of course, StarQuest. It's all about that story of following the star. So it's biblical in its essence, but it doesn't really again, it's not that obvious. So I think it's a good name, and StarQuest Radio kind of sounds cool. Now, the other thing is, StarQuest Radio will also have a particular way of doing radio. Instead of doing this a daily mix that you see on a lot of stations, where you've got a little bit of this or a little bit of that, I came up with this programming that will basically turn every day into a certain theme day. You know the memes on the web with the hashtags in Twitter? Throwback Thursday. You know that one where people post like old photos, or it's just a Thursday. It's the day that a lot of people are, you know, a bit nostalgic, and that's what they post stuff about that. Well, I'm thinking, you know what? We can call our Thursday on StarQuest Radio Throwback Thursday, and we'll just play old archival material. So I've got hundreds and hundreds of shows that are now 10 years old. That is ancient history. You know, remember the days of the Daily Breakfast? I bet you that more than half of my audience has never listened to those shows. Well, Throwback Thursday is the day that I'm going to re-air those old shows. We've got the Saint Cast. You know, that's archival stuff. We've got really good content. The only thing is it's 10 years old, but a lot of that content is still extremely relevant. So that's just one day. So Throwback Thursday is going to be about archival material. It's looking back at that, you know, treasure that we build up over the past 10 years. So I tried to find like special themes for every day of the week so that this radio station is going to be different every single day. So here's what I came up with. Monday, and I just looked at what are the most popular memes, because this is going to be a way to bring people to the radio station. It is by constantly every day tapping into those memes and try to interest people to come over to StarQuest Radio and listen to the content that particular day, because they're already interested in that theme because they're using those hashtags. So what's the most popular hashtag for Monday? It's Manic Monday, believe it or not. There are millions of people that will post tweets about Manic Monday. So it's basically the weekend is over, you're at the beginning of the week, and it's all like, how do I manage the chaos? Well, I'm thinking, you know, Manic Monday. I love that. It's about productivity. It's about how to manage your life, how to set goals, all that stuff. So the content on that day will be related to that. Tuesday, the most used hashtag for Tuesday is Transformation Tuesday. And it's all about people, you know, trying to lose weight, trying to change your life, change your career, change your relationship. So I'm thinking, you know what? That is so compatible with a lot of our shows. Think of Healthy Catholic. Think of, you know, the show that I did with Cliff Ravenscraft, Balanced Living Weekly. You know, how do you balance your life? How do you renew your life? How do you get healthy again? But I'm also thinking of a show like iPilgrim, where it is all about making these journeys in life that will change literally the course of your life. So it's all going to be about transformation. Wednesday, a popular hashtag on Wednesday is Wednesday Wisdom. So people post these quotes from great thinkers, and so that's a whole meme, Wednesday Wisdom. I'm thinking, you know what? Awesome. So compatible with the things that we do on SQPN. It's about transmitting wisdom. It's about spirituality, learning more about the world in which you live. So I'm thinking, you know, Catholic Laboratory. I'm thinking Catholic Vitamins. I'm thinking iPottery. I'm thinking spirituality. We've got so many shows that match that idea of Wednesday is a day to expand your horizon and learn more, become wiser. So already talked about Throwback Thursday. Now, Friday for me is related to a very important concept that I got to know through Greg and Jennifer Willits. Every Friday, they would have Family Fun Friday, and it would consist of eating a pizza and watching cool movies. But it's about family. It's about fun. It's the last day of the week. And so you want to tap into that and make sure that if people tune into StarQuest Radio on Friday, it's a fun day. It's about family. So I'm thinking, you know, Just a Catholic Dad, Secrets of Disney, Catholic in a Small Town, speaking of fun, you know, Secrets of Harry Potter even. It's like all these kind of family-oriented shows that we have, that we made in the past, and that are still, I think, most of those shows are still completely valid and work really well because the content is timeless. And I think that Friday could be that day that you just want to get ready for the weekend, get some movie tips, you know, laugh a bit, get some insights about how to improve your family life. That's the kind of shows that I want to have on Friday. And then Saturday, this is a bit interesting because the most used hashtag on Saturday is Saturday Night. And if you look on Instagram to photos with Saturday Night, it's all about, you know, that one day in the week where you go out, you go to the movies, you go to have a party, you play games. It's all about entertainment. It's about, you know, it's that one day in the week that you don't have to worry about your work, and it's just a day. It's actually an evening where you relax. Now, I'm thinking Saturday Night, okay, we don't have shows about, you know, discos or parties or whatever. But we do have a lot of shows about entertainment and about, you know, fun things that you can do on Saturday night. So I'm thinking about those movie-related shows that we have, about, you know, the reviews that we do about entertainment. I'm thinking cooking. You know, what more fun can you have on Saturday evening than to cook with your kids? So I'm thinking Catholic foodie, shows like that. Totally. Saturday is all going to be about fun, creative things that you can do, entertaining things, cooking, watching movies, playing games. That's going to be the content for Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday, what's going to be a hashtag that can bring in people? Well, we can't do like Holy Mass or something, even though a lot of Catholics would think immediately Sunday. Yeah, that's when you go to church. But I'm thinking, you know what? You should do Sunday Fun Day. That's actually one of the biggest hashtags on Sunday. It's Sunday Fun Day. It's all about people that want to have fun on Sunday. I'm thinking you can do that with a little bit more depth. And so it's going to be programming that will be both fun, but also have that deeper layer. So that is where I want to post shows like Secrets of Middle Earth, Secrets of Star Wars, Catholic Weekend, Catholic Insider, Secrets of Tintin, all these shows that are both entertaining, but also always contain that deeper layer of inspiration. Where do these stories come from? Because, you know, we're in essence also a Catholic station. So you want to not hide that treasure that you have from your listeners. But it still needs to be accessible. And so that's why I'd rather do Sunday Fun Day than having like this very religious Sunday programming. So that is in a nutshell how I conceive StarQuest Radio. Again, it's going to go live in beta this upcoming Monday. You will be able to listen to this in iTunes, on TuneIn. You can listen to it on the website, so many different ways. And it is really meant as something that is like the other side of the metal. We've got a lot of podcasts that you can listen to, but this online radio station is going to allow you to get to know perhaps even more programs, and also again make available that very, very I think interesting treasure that we build up over the past 10 years. And I don't think that many people will go back and listen to the first podcast. Actually, a lot of these podcasts aren't even available online anymore at all. So making them available, reopening that treasure trove to people using StarQuest Radio, I think is a huge opportunity for us. So there you have it. This was the breaking news that I wanted to share with you. It's also the end of the show. So again, subscribe to our newsletter if you want to get the press release on Monday. And let us know what you think about StarQuest Radio and about the programming. As I said, we're going to enter a beta period, and it's all meant to improve the way that we run this online radio station. And hopefully in the future, we'll be able to add even more podcasters and even more exciting content to this radio station. So if you have any shows, podcasts that you listen to that fit this kind of programming, let me know as well. I can only listen to so many podcasts during the week, so I also need your input. So if you know about shows that could, you know, work well in this, you know, StarQuest Radio concept, let me know. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Father Roderick, and also on Facebook. Just look for Roderick Von Hogan. And, SQPN.com for all your other business. Have a great week, and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.